and financial report to late fees collected by ITB since September 2017. That was the invite, the details of the meeting. Looking at the invite, we didn't get the presentation on item D, which is the status report on the number of both residential and business PTOs converted to long-term leases to date, new residential and business leases issued, and financial report on lease fees collected by ITB since September 2017. That was the invite that was sent to the department. Same invite, I think, that was forwarded to ITB. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we talk to the presentation? We've got a, I don't know whether it's a new honorable member or it's an alternate. Honorable member Buthelezi, if I'm not mistaken, you're welcome in this meeting. Honorable members, can we talk to Honorable Filtana, Honorable Madela, Honorable Mchabeleng, Honorable Mpapama, and Honorable Mgonil. Honorable Robertson and Honorable Mgonil will be the last on this first round.
Proceed, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the, well, for the presentation, shall I say. My take, Chair, is that ideally we should have had the presentation by Dr. Klassen, so that as we discuss the responses to her presentation, then we are all in context. Otherwise, we can deliberate for another 20, 30 minutes on the responses, but we are still blind as to what her position is. However, if my proposal is not accepted, this is what I would want clarity on, just in case that proposal of mine doesn't carry the day.
Honorable Fulton, let me explain, please. Dr. Klassen was invited here not for the convention of PTOs into leasehold. The presence of Dr. Klassen here was based on the resolution taken by the committee that we invite her to come and make some presentation on the recommendations of the high level panel. So we're dealing with two different things here. That is why I said they must not, when they present, they must not mention Dr. Klassen, because we'll be allowed to involve her to respond on some of the issues. She was not invited for the PTOs and the leasehold issue. She was invited for the recommendation as per the request of this committee.
Thanks, Chair. I still hold the same feeling, but I will comply. It's just that maybe it's my way of interpreting her involvement as you read the invitation, which obviously some of us haven't seen, but I thought they are here to respond to what she said. But anyway, let me proceed. The regulations spoken of, I'm not sure if these have ever been presented to us as a committee. I'm talking now where with regard to the regulations that would have been promulgated by the minister. It would have been very helpful for us to be having those, particularly for purposes of this meeting, because that's what would guide us with regard to what is legally compliant and what is not. The fact that the department does not have any written policy on conversions as confirmed does put us, and in fact probably the whole process, on the back foot, because there is no policy by the Department on Conversions, which would then mean that we are to a large extent unable to deliver it very efficiently on the matter, because we don't know what the department's policy. I don't think it is our call to decide or to even try to influence how the regular, how the policy of the department should be. I don't think we have got that capacity as this committee here and now, because we need to be guided by the policy, which would have then influenced the thinking of the ITB and the community as well. That kind of cripples us. Thirdly, sir, it is not clear to me as to what the minister would have to take into account in deciding to approve or not to approve a proposed conversion. Again, there the lack of policy is a gap, that we don't have the regulations, we are unable to make a meaningful contribution. But more importantly, it should have been made clear by the presenter as to what the minister would be expected to take into account, because that's where the crux of the matter lies. Just comparing a lease agreement with a permission to occupy, what does it take? Does it take, because we're dealing with a public organ here, does he therefore feel persuaded to take into account the broader interests of the community way beyond just the ITB community, if I may use that term, or is it exclusively the interests of the ITB community? Lastly, Chair, when we talk about the community in this context, what if somebody has been granted mining rights, for argument's sake, within ITB-controlled land? He's from the Free State, but he's got mining rights there. And then there are people who are born and bred on that land, so to speak. These people who have got PTOs and what have you. Does that person who has come here exclusively to trade become or not accepted as a member of the community? In other words, the definition of the community becomes important. This is where policy position would need to clarify who is a community. You know the long argument we've had as we're considering, as we're deliberating on the CPA, bill. So that's why definition of a community becomes important. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. One understood from Judge Mugwenya that he responded to a civil servant need to provide some form of documentary proof in order for them to access a housing allowance. Honorable Futani have now indicated to confirm there is a policy gap with regard to conversions, a policy around converting PTOs to leasehold. Chair, the critical question that one would wish to ask is, obviously there is a gap. This matter appeared before the bargaining, public sector coordinating bargaining council in 2015. The Premier's letter to the trust is 2017 November. So there has been a gap there. But the critical question, Chair, is why the department has not yet up till now look at the issue of a policy around converting an old apartheid documentation that is in existence, that ought to be, and in actual it ought to be part of those that have been repealed already, Chair, in a manner that would be able for the people who have lived on the land for generations to acquire permanency and to allow them access to resources such as the issue of housing allowances etc., Chair. One, just to be honest with you, from where I'm sitting, there seems to be a significant difference between what people have had held generations for generations and a leasehold, because I want to assume that currently people living on the land does not pay any rent, except if you are a developer, you have come and you lease the land. But if they enter into a lease agreement now, one certainly would expect or anticipate that will change. They would have to pay now. And that indeed would create hardship, and poverty will in effect plunge our people into greater poverty if that route has been taken. And certainly the department must come to the fore and provide the necessary regulations to ensure that this particular process does not impoverish our people or in actual fact downgrade the right that they currently enjoy, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I must say I'm really disappointed by the presentation given by the judge here, that a lease could be the highest form, according to them, of land ownership, where you actually reduce rights that people had on the land and reduce them to being tenants, you know. A landowner with a permission to occupy that land and use it all the time has now to pay rent on that land as a lessee, as a tenant. So this sounds like, you know, the ITB is deepening the theater of land dispossession and even, you know, watering down rights that people have on land. It's really surprising. I don't know what your interests are on this one. I am really beginning to doubt that you as the ITB have the interests of rural people at your heart. Because if you are to reduce their level of ownership to that of being tenants, which is the lowest in terms of land ownership, our people are going to be reduced to squatters. What if they cannot pay the lease monies that are there on the contract? What is going to happen to them? PTOs have been, I got my PTO 2 years ago in my village in Skukuniland. I applied to Hoshin Chabeleng, who is my brother, for a piece of land to build myself a house. The PTOs are working. What is so different about KwaZulu-Natal, where people have to lose their rights to the ITB? This is the IDP dispossessing people of their land. That is what this thing means to me, Chairperson. I'm really disappointed. I'm disappointed by the ITB on this matter particularly.
Honorable Papa. Thank you, Chairperson. I have a question for the judge. In one of the letters that he has copied us, I think it's page, I don't know how to say that, but anyway, it's a letter headed Acceptance of Valid Permission to Occupy Certificate by Government Departments. And it states that one of the advantages, maybe I should say, or benefits of having this affordable housing scheme is to facilitate asset security and promote home ownership. And I'm just wondering how a lease, a long-term lease, will do that, especially in light of the announcement by ISILO in June 2016 that all people on Ingonyama Trust who are occupying residential land will actually get their title deeds. I would like to know what has changed between June 2016 to now, where now we are converting what Isilo said into long-term title deeds. Thank you.
Honorable Robertson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and welcome to the Judge Ngwenya and the RTB team. Just to go slightly off topic with regards to the ITB, I remember the last time the judge came here, there was something specific that I'd asked, and that was about the land audit of ITB. Now, ITB has still not done a land audit. So until that, and I'm going to get to the question now, until that, if you haven't done a land audit, which means then you haven't planned for spatial development, you haven't planned for what sectors are going to be used for agriculture, what sectors are going to be used for mining or any other generating income services. You were speaking earlier about the amount of money that Ngwenyama Trust generates from leases, etc., etc., or from income generating operations. Isn't it now about time that Ngwenyama starts doing land audits, starts incorporating businesses and industry on Ngwenyama Trust once you guys have done a land audit, so that you can see where you're headed? I ask that in light of what Honorable Nchabeleng was saying about the ownership of land as well, because obviously once you've got industry in Ngwenyama Trust, you will ultimately start increasing your residential areas and people will start moving in because you've got this industry. I am also of the opinion of Honorable Chamaleng. I agree with him that it is very disappointing that people can't own their own land in Ngwenyama Trust and have their own title deeds in Ngwenyama Trust, and I'd like to know what you're going to do about that. Thanks.
Honorable Matthias, can you come in and...
Thanks, Madam Chair. Look, I'm going through the presentation by the good advocate. I'm sort of happy with your explanation in relation to the nature and powers of the Ngwenyama Trust, in the manner in which you have explained them, that whatever powers and the nature thereof, such powers are exercised to advance public good, exercised to advance public interest, and it remains an organ of state in terms of the legislation that establishes the trust, and it should not be viewed as a private organ or a private entity. I'm pretty much happy with that explanation. I would have the same understanding that the trust also shares so that's the first point, Madam Chair. The second point is that we must admit that in 1994, with the enactment of the KwaZulu-Natal Trust Act, 1994, there are unintended consequences that the state then had to do or to do, for which we have now, with the benefit of hindsight, have to look back and look at those unintended consequences. And what are these unintended consequences? Is that we as government and as a nation, we have created that legitimate expectation that land as it's currently held under the Ngwenyama Trust willingly or wittingly or unwittingly belongs to the Ngwenyama Trust as a private property, wittingly or unwittingly. And this is the unintended consequences that which I say the Act might have created. And what more is now created or has been created is the perpetuation of forms of land ownership. And for purposes of this discussion, I'll limit these forms of ownership to three forms of land ownership. First is private ownership. Secondly is colonial patterns of ownership. Thirdly is feudal forms of land tenure. And the last one talked directly to the unintended consequences of the 1994 Act. That in a way, we, through that Act, are perpetuating some form of some modern forms of feudal land tenure. And this is drawn from what? It's drawn from the presentation by the department where it refers to the trust, in which it says the trust is established as a body corporate with perpetual succession and with the power to sue and to be sued. And that gives that perception. And this also gives credence to my argument that in this case we've got some form of feudal, in the modern history, forms of land tenure which are based on hereditable or perpetual right to land occupation or land tenure, with either freehold or non-freehold over that land, which we currently refer to as permission to occupy. Now, from where I'm seated, Madam Chair, without getting into the details of this, we need to get to a stage where the government should guide us. That these forms of and patterns of land ownership must be abolished, including any form of land ownership that borders on modern forms of feudal land tenure. They ought to be abolished. And in making this point, I'm not prepared to go to war. I guess the Commander-in-Chief equally is not prepared to go to war with Ngwenyama. But in the interest of this country, we need to abolish any forms of these types of land ownership, be it private forms of ownership, be it colonial patterns of land ownership, or feudal forms of land tenure. This must be done in the interest of safeguarding two fundamental principles: the role and the position of state over the land ownership and custodianship. And secondly, to safeguard and protect the inalienable birthright to land of the people of this country. So that the land is not balkanized on the basis of ethnicity, of tribe, of gender, or of race. Land should not be balkanized on the basis of those considerations. And we can only achieve that if land is squarely placed under the custodian and ownership of the state on behalf of the people of this country. But all measures that we are under considering, Madam Chair, including the choices we have to consider between the conversion from permission to occupy to leasehold, as proposed in the bill, are interim or transitional measures. This must be underlined. These are transitional measures as we go about consultative programs of allaying fears and concerns and ensuring that as we get to the final stage of the the most advanced, most progressive and radical form of land ownership, all sectors in society would have bought into the idea and rallied behind that revolutionary undertaking.
Thank you. Honorable Mboni.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join you by welcoming our new minister in absentia again, Honorable Maite, and hope that we will have a good time working together for the next 12 months, probably. Chair, and also because your meeting is getting richer and richer with stakeholders, really, maybe on our behalf, Chair, do apologize to the people who are standing and sitting down. Some, these may prove to be eminent persons. In fact, I don't have any doubts that they are very important people, but next time we'll try and see if we can get a bigger venue or something, Chair. The duration of 3 hours or so with people sitting down, standing up and all that, we definitely do apologize. Chair, I like the discussion about the development of society. And from where I come from, society has got 5 stages, primitive communal society, slavery state, feudalism, capitalism, and then ultimately a classless society. I hold that profoundly. And therefore I can relate to the discussion by Honorable Matthias. I enjoyed listening to him at Radio 2000 again last night, Commissar. But I just wanted to say, Chair, when you are under a capitalist mode of production, there would definitely be elements of the old systems. There would be elements of primitive communal values. If you go to our villages, people still share and coexist outside the medium of exchange, be it money or some sort of. And in that sense, while we are in a democracy, in transition from capitalism to a better society, a society free from exploitation and sucking of blood of one person by the other. In that transition, you will find sometimes necessary coexistence. And I would think that in the present day, there's therefore role and space for amakos, and I would think that we should respect them. I'm talking on my own behalf, I'm not replying to anyone, so that the message from Parliament, certain voices, if I may, my voice as well is added to say, we welcome the existence of amakosi in the present society. I've not thought carefully enough about the long term. Maybe future generations might decide the question. And it's a small, nice contradiction within myself, Chair, that I always sit and think that, but everyone must be born equal. It's just that for as long as, and I do uphold the role of amakosi, it means some are born, some people are born greater than others, you know. So it's my own contradiction. I can live with it. Chair, there was an issue referred to by the judge, the chairperson of the board, about the budget. Over the past 4 years or so, we've discussed this thing about the budget. Before, he liked to talk about own funds and the departmental allocation, and we queried this notion of own funds. Somewhere, as we speak on social media, some high-level intelligentsia are busy discussing. There's 80 million allocation, judge, from, I think, is it KZN province or ministry, that's going to the Ingonyama or Isilo, whatever way you want to put it, on top of the 19 million that you referred to. But also, as people are leasing, I think you'll agree with me, Honorable Judge, that ITB had a time when it never existed, and therefore that land belonged to KwaZulu-Natal government. Or I don't know where else it belonged. I'm subject to correction. But for now, I would strongly propose that that land belong to KwaZulu-Natal government. So if ITB gets proceeds from the land, and when ITB likes, ITB says, own revenue, Mr. Maya, ne? The same. Own funds, own funds, own funds. Only a meager 19 million from the state. I do think that under scrutiny, under microscope, under litmus, for those who understand the chemistry, under a litmus test, it might actually prove a little bit of a worrying statement. These are public funds. I like Advocate Ramasala when he says the trust is a public trust, it's not some private trust. And funds accruing to the trust from wherever are, in a certain sense, funds that are accountable in terms of the public and should and ought to be accountable in terms of the public. I just in passing thought I should touch on this aspect about funds and do highlight that, subject to convincing argument, the ITB land, the trust land, is the land that came from KwaZulu-Natal government. And that's South African land, put simply. It's South African land. That's South African land. South Africa, if you draw a map of South Africa, you will not leave some land outside except Lesotho and Swaziland. The rest of the land is South African land. That's the bottom line. It doesn't have its own currency, its own police, its own army, its own cabinet, in its own. It's just part of South Africa, and therefore, that should at times. I will keep coming and emphasizing this point from time to time, because we got a unitary state with provinces and with a certain dispensation. I do like the constitution so much in how it spells out that dispensation. There's a case referred to by the Honorable Judge about the public servants in KZN, and that case was lost, and it necessitated this proposal or this actual position to convert from PTOs into leaseholds, if you like. We are not aware of this case, and excuse our ignorance. We're not supposed to come up and say, no, we're not aware of the case. But we don't know if that case mandates. You see, if there's thunderstorm and then it can follow and then you say, no, Mnguni must go. It doesn't follow that that thunderstorm was meaning that Mnguni must go. So the sequence, the connection, the necessity, is there a judgment, put in the form of a question now, Judge, is there a judgment that mandated that ITB must convert from the PTOs to, I call it PTOs, I'll come up with the next point about your submission regarding PTOs. But is there a judgment that was saying do it? So why do you refer to that case and say that such a case was necessitating this move? Let me go to the issue about PTOs. Start by referring a question to Advocate Ramasala to help us there. But I did hear reference to a number of statutes, which quite a number of statutes were referred to, right? Mm-hmm. And these statutes, in how I read it, in between the lines, I may come back some other day if the facts are different. These statutes kind of sustained a certain kind of ownership for people in a communal land and sought to upgrade than to do otherwise. Chair, the sample in these packages, the sample list has a breach clause. And this breach clause has 7 days. You do not comply with this payment of rent or something, and then within, if I'm right, 48 hours, if I'm asked to quote verbatim, I will, because I'm sure about this one. Now, within 24 hours thereafter, somebody may be evicted. Really? But that's what it says. So, do the 6-8 million, I don't know what the inhabitants of the KZN stroke ITB land are, I estimate them between 6 million to 8 million. Would these people know that they have to pay rent within within 7 days, failing which they may be evicted and out in the streets of Ethekwini, Mkambatini, and everywhere else? Would a committee of parliament turn a blind eye once it becomes aware of that? That there are people who are occupying space and land who may be evicted within 24 to 48 hours. Is there? If I'm asked to quote, I will quote it right away now. If I'm asked to quote it, right. Now, clearly, it's unpalatable, but also clearly, it's condemnable and unacceptable. It can't happen. We don't want to see that. People might be paying Ama 5 rand to defend whatever the case, but once we expose that this is what it says, I definitely think that people will demand their 5 rands, and there would be a very, very bad situation out of that, you know, right. Chair, I would land on a situation that says, from the definition I've listened to, most people who have spoken on the other side, even on the department, are legal minds. We are non-legal, we are political, we are leadership. From PTO, we can only best advance to ownership. I submit, Chair, that the leases are not necessarily the tool that might be helping out. But I will end it off on a question, Chair, that says, Honorable Judge, did you do consultation? Can you prove to us that you held public hearings over a province like KZN, which is part of South Africa? I repeat this point, because people mustn't think that then it's up to KZN. It's part of South Africa. Over that geographical area, one ninth of our country, did you go at least even, I don't know how many regions there are about 10, I think. Did you go to those 10 districts, hold public hearings, and say, this is what we have heard, this is what we are proposing to regulate to be the new dispensation? Put differently, is the proposal of leases legitimate? Because if there were no such public hearings, convincing, democratic, open, fair, well advertised, then clearly, excuse my strong language, it would then render them illegitimate. I rest it there, Chair.
I hope that you have been noting what the members were saying. I think I was to ask the last part, which the Honorable Nguni has asked, because it's very much important, the issue of communicating, consulting with the communities before implementing whatever. You engage them, you hear their views. Then while Judge was talking about the lease matter, he aligned that to the issue of the revenue. So what came into my mind was that is the convention the intention to generate revenue because you are not getting sufficient budget from the department? Because while you were explaining the lease, you said you want to hear, people must tell ITB because the budget is insufficient. Where are they supposed to get the other money for the operation of the ITB? So that is where I started to ask myself that this is a process of revenue generation since the budget is insufficient. Maybe if you can just clarify that. Can I then hand over this
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you for the...
Can I request that you be specific to the questions, because now it's 5 to 12.
we're going straight to the questions, Chairperson. The team will respond, and the Chair as well will then respond on the issues directed to Ngonyama. Just to indicate, Chair, in terms of the first questions raised by Honourable Sultane, especially around the lack of policy around the issues of conversion, the team will also add further, but you would note that even as we presented, we had discussed in terms of provisions that we have made now in the communal land tenure bill, as well as how the process then is reflected for the process of the conversion. So they will explain further in terms of the details of how that bill moves forward and what processes we have followed till now. I'm going to hand over then to Advocate Ngwengwe and Advocate Ramasala, who will then deal with the details, because many of them deal with issues specific within the Act. The one issue I'll cover before I hand over, Chair, is around the budget allocation raised also by Honourable Nguni. From the side of the department, indeed, we make available 19 million rand, which is really supposed to be to assist the board in carrying out its administrative responsibilities as per the Act. And then that is because the minister then plays oversight in terms of the trust as well as the board. You would remember that that question has come before the committee as well previously. And within it, remember, there are financial regulations that have also been part of Ngonyama, which financial regulations allows for the auditing by the Auditor General in terms of whatever expenditure happens by the board, all right, so that we account for the public funds that we have allocated to Ngonyama. In addition, they on an annual basis have to report to various different structures, including the House of Traditional Leaders, including the Premier, including the Minister, and present then an annual report to the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. So I thought I must just clarify that. And in those reports, obviously, they then make indication of those revenues as well that they have received. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to hand over then to Advocate Ramasala and Advocate Ngwengwe to take us through.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first question on the policy issue, I think maybe I was too curt in responding to say there is no policy. Indeed, there is no policy on converting PTOs to leases. Yes. What we have is the communal land policy that deals with conversions or upgrading of already existing rights. And as I've indicated, the conversion is to ownership, as reflected in the Communal Land Tenure Bill and in the Clara Act. But my colleague, Advocate Ngwengwe, will add further on that matter. On the issue raised by Honorable Sultane on the considerations by the Minister in approving the conversion in terms of the Ultra Act. That act specifically provides that the minister is satisfied on the basis of a report by a person assigned or appointed by him that the rights or interests of putative holders are being protected. Putative is those that claim that we have some kind of rights. So there is a consideration by the minister before that approval is given. The further question on what is the community? I'm aware that it may have been raised in the light of the previous discussions with this commission or community. The community here is the communities affected are listed in the schedule to the Ngonyama Trust Act. If you go to the schedule, it tells you this is the community to which this act applies. So they are defined in that act. And I think the points I think raised by Honorable Nguni with regard to the two acts, the upgrading of land tenure rights and the internal protection of formal land rights. As we have indicated, the Ultra Act provides for conversion from PTO, from any formal right to ownership, as I've indicated. And then the Ipilra Act provides that in an instance where an informal right is taken away, there must be compensation in respect thereof. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My small addition, Chair, is that the conversion of informal rights or inferior rights into ownership is provided for in the White Paper on South African Land Policy of 1997. So PTO are parts of the rights that the White Paper requires to be upgraded into ownership. The policy that CILU has referred to is just an operational policy of the department in relation to that as well. I would like to leave it at that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with regards to questions raised by the Honorable Filtane, I will add nothing further to what has already been said, except to say that if one listens to all the questions, some are policy discussion, some are philosophical, and where I sit, I think I sit at my administrative level. In other words, below those two hierarchies, if there is a policy decision that is taken, there is an act of parliament that is passed, I will live with the legislation and express my view and share it where I should. And therefore, the indication is quite clear from Mr. Filtane that in a different way, these are legislators who are asking us why is there a gap in legislation. I cannot help answer that. With regards to the Honorable Madela, and there is one question by Honorable Madela which I want to link with that one of Honorable Nchabeleng. I am not here, Honorable Members, to try and convince you what is right and what is wrong. If you tell us what is right and we go and implement it, we will do so. Where there are challenges, we will of course point them out. So I do not therefore intend prolonging the debate to say what is a stronger right between a PTO and a leasehold. But I would be surprised if these regulations which I read are not understood to confer a lesser right to a person who holds a PTO than to a person who's got a lease. It says, I read again what is relevant. Permission granted to occupy shall not convey ownership therein. Furthermore, it says that the person who is the holder of this PTO must pay rental, and if you don't pay it for 2 years, it can be cancelled. So that breach clause, which Honorable Mngoni referred to in the lease, is as well present in the PTO. We may differ with time. But I don't think it helps this committee one way or the other, because I'm appearing before the lawmakers. If they are not happy with this, Advocate Mngongo has referred to the White Paper back to 1997, 21 years ago. We haven't seen it culminating to anything that we should implement. So I thought that there is one point where I've not been understood, Madam Chair, and that also links to your question about revenue generation. I think it would have helped the members around here, Madam Chair, to have seen those adverts, because the adverts are directed to two possible groupings. There is one for leases. There is one which says that if you don't have a document, it doesn't say you must therefore convert to a lease. So that answers then the question whether it says, is that the award in favor of the public servant that preempted or that generated the action on the part of Ngoyama Trust? When I gave background, I mentioned that the advert came before the award. So I therefore, to answer the question by Mr. Mngoni, is there a judgment? We were not responding to a judgment. I said in the process of us having invited people, and there are all reasons why we went that way. If the committee want me to say those reasons, I will. But I did not say we are doing this because there's an award in the province in favor of the civil servants. I said in the process of the advert, there was this. And I also said that what we are inviting them to do is not to convert to necessarily to leases. Some of them have got nothing. We said we'll provide documents that the memo from the office of the Premier referred to as a PTO. That's what I said, Madam Chair. So with regards to policy gap by Honorable Madela, I think you have addressed this to the department. The issue of rental has been asked by Honorable Madela as well as the Chair. Maybe let me deal with this Chair once more. Yes, right. I'm fully aware that Ngoyama Trust is a public trust, and for that reason it must at some stage during the year come before this committee because it's a public trust. But the simple law is that every trust is governed by its own finding document or constitution that is even clear in the regulations of the PFMA, that is regulation, I think, regulation 14. But I want to emphasize this point. The relevant provision of the trust says a corporate body is hereby established and that it shall do all such acts and things as bodies corporate may lawfully do. So what I am saying, Madam Chair, with regards to this, there is this very fundamental thing. It says that the trust shall, in a manner not inconsistent with the provisions of this Act, be administered for the benefit, material welfare, and social well-being of the members of the tribes which Advocate Ramasala has referred to. Now, going back to the question I'm being asked, take the trust, let it collect no cent from nobody and receive the 19 million, because I'm not saying the 19 million is an underword, like the acting DG correctly points out. It's because the Act says for the administration of the board. Now, all I'm saying, again, I'm posing the same question. If the understanding is that we shall do all these things with the 19 million rand that come from the government, I will seek guidance from this committee. If this committee says, don't collect any rental, don't do anything, we will go and vote for 100 million rand and you distribute it to these beneficiaries, by all means. We will reduce the staff. We're not going to make anybody sign a lease. We're not going to collect any revenue. But until that happens, what I am saying, Madam Chair, is you are correct to say we are collecting money to generate revenue, the purpose of which is to protect firstly the interest of the beneficiaries. Number two is to meet the statutory obligation which says we shall do this for the material well benefit of these people. That's what it says. And with regards to, I know Honorable Mngoni, this was not meant for us to do anything, the issue of five friends or no five friends, but The fact of the matter is, in terms of consultation, we agree is an important step, and if we do it properly, we will get what people understand and want. So to answer the question, the extent of consultation, it doesn't go anywhere near what one would say is consultation. We haven't consulted widely on this, but what we're saying is this invitation is a process whereby we plan to consult, but the conversion of PTOs has been happening since the board came into existence. So I want to draw that distinction, that when we issued out the invitation to all people concerned, we also make provision that we will consult, because for us, the consultation does not only start with the beneficiaries. If you look, traditional councils are built in the Ingonyama Trust Act. So the first people that would be administering that are traditional councils. They themselves have not yet been consulted in detail, but we have indicated that this is what is going to go on. We are more than happy to delay any process to consult as much as possible in this regard. We will do so without fear. There was a question about the King's announcement in 2016 and the apparent change of stance in terms of title deeds versus anything else. Nothing has changed from that. The King, when he made the announcement, exactly what I've been asked before, that there must be a sustained process of consultation. Consultation started first at the highest level for our purposes with the traditional leaders in 2016, July. They came with a number of views which we are currently analyzing. And moving from that, we'll go to communities. So nothing has changed as far as that is concerned. But whatever is said, I think Mr. Mngoni, the Honorable Mngoni and Honorable Matthias have said one thing, at least where they are common. Whatever is done, if you are planning for an ideal society, is always in the interim. I think Advocate Ramasala will agree with me that ULTRA does not only limit itself to PTOs or oral tenure, but a person who's got a lease can also subject himself or herself to the ULTRA, converting a leasehold into a full ownership right. I think that's clear in the law. I've seen it happening elsewhere. So what I'm then saying, therefore, is that there is no change in that, but the issue of title deeds, however they are, they need to be addressed with sufficient caution, even if it takes longer to reach that stage. Because as we currently speak in South Africa, there are various kinds of title deeds. A person who lives in a township has got what is called a deed of grant, and there are quitrent tenure, there are all sorts of things. So all of those will be taken into consideration. With regards to the issue of land audit, we are doing the land audit. We have not completed it. That is always managed by two requirements. The internal personnel capacity as well as the financial capacity. One of the biggest programs that has been unfolding was to finalize the organogram so that there are more people employed by the ITB, and that has now been completed and is being costed, and then once we add those heads, then most of these things will be fast tracked. I think that answers Mr. Robinson. I don't think specifically there was a question addressed to Ingonyama Trust by the Honorable Matthias, but to the extent that there might have been, I captured his questions to be above what I fall in, to be those that are the reservoir of the lawmakers. And then I think I've answered Honorable Mnguni as to the judgment. I said there's no judgment. I would leave with one conclusion as far as where the Honorable Mnguni and Ntshavheleng share common ground, that this is dispossession. I have a different view, and I think also that my level here is different, and then I will understand their observation, but like I said, that our view is to the contrary. The breach clause, like I said, is available to various instruments, not only to Ingoyama Trust lease, but also those who go to the bank and get bonds or mortgage bonds. They've got lease clauses which tell them when they may lose their houses. But the fact that up to today, like I said, nobody has found himself or herself prejudiced by that clause while it is there shows the attitude we take. But all in all, Honorable Mnguni, I think it's fair what you are saying as far as this kind of a clause which is akin to what was called trespass in the olden days. I think in all seriousness with that, but I don't think that a bad clause or unfair clause would automatically destroy the whole instrument. I think I've answered you on consultation. I think you don't expect much from me about the 5 rand, but I'm sure you'll have the... Let me now compare these two things. I think there's a complete misperception as to what Ingoyama Trust is and what the king is. With regards to the provincial budget, we've got nothing to do with that as Ingoyama Trust. We administer land, the king is the trustee. With regards to the royal household and the status of the Zulu king, because it comes as if it's something new, this is documented in all the Kodesa documents leading to the provincial, to the constitution and everything else. It really doesn't come near me, but if somebody wants me to express comments, I can comment on specific issues. I want to leave that there. I think, Chair, with regards to your question as regards revenue, I think I've answered that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge, for another
question. Yes, Chair. May I address you on something relating to what we're doing? I'll take less than 15 seconds. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Chair, looking at the intensity of discussions and the seriousness of the high-level involvement, or rather participation by Dr. Clausen, I humbly suggest that we stand over that matter for another day, Dr. Clausen. It's just a humble suggestion, Chair. Thanks.
Can we conclude this matter first then and move to the second one? We must not club the two. Honorable Robertson, do you want to comment few seconds?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was definitely in favor of Honorable Fultani's suggestion, as we need to hear from the high-level panel and their recommendations. Thanks.
Be calm. There's no hurry in South Africa. Any comment on the... on the responses by the judge before I make some concluding remarks? Honorable Mnguni?
No, just a question, Chair. I might, my attention might have slipped. Just to find out how far is the process gone? No, this is just a data and statistic question I'm asking. How far is the process gone to, yeah, towards concluding that?
Honorable Fitan.
Thanks very much. Just on two responses. The issue of the policy
specifically on conversions. I appreciate what the advocate has said, but I wish he could express it more. When he says, this gentleman next to him says it's in the white paper, obviously we don't have the white paper here. If you can express it and tell us what is contained there, then we can engage further. Because it's going to be risky of us as this committee to make a constructive comment on the proposed engagements when we do not have a full understanding of all the legislative framework as well as policy framework on this. It's just not helping us at all. And then also the issue of the community definition of the community. As we're sitting here, we don't have the schedule has been referred to. I don't know if we've got it somewhere. Is it there? Okay, I think for purposes of discussions, it's helpful when a person refers to a document and say, this is what is said in the document, rather than just to say, there's a certain document, you'll read it at your own spare time, because that is the silent style sentence that is not pronounced. You'll read it, or you should have known better. I think it would help, if we can get clarity on those. Then we know that we've got, we will be guided in our processes going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Judge, I believe that you did say that you guys are busy with the land audit and the survey. Can you give us a date, more or less, when it would be completed and when this committee can expect some response from you or a report with regards to that? Thanks.
Another one, Gordon. You've raised your issue, no? Okay. Comments, Judge?
I think the question was firstly from Honorable Mnguni as a matter of course. I think there are a few processes that are currently in place. The process with regards to the discussion with the Office of the Premier is at a stage where we are quantifying the number of applicants. I must emphasize those are not lease applications, but those are the people who are looking for replacement of PTO documents. Because of the agency in this matter, we hope by June we shall already be in a process where we have completed the number of people that are the applicants and already in the process of issuing out those documents. With regards to the invitation, because I think the invitation to the department, which the chair has read, is not the same letter that was forwarded to us. In fact, we were given a letter. The details that are asked there did not come to our attention. In other words, to say how much has been collected from September, we don't have that letter with us. And to the extent that is required, I can indicate that we can provide that response in writing. But I wanted to correct one thing, Chairperson, with regards to that. We work with staff. When you ask for information like that to say how much rental has been collected since September, without saying in relation to what, we receive rental every month. So you may get the information which does not answer your question, because every month we receive rental. But if you mean as a result of the advert, then we're in a position to tell you that as a result of the advert, we have collected zero, as I'm currently speaking. That I'm definite about. So we will request a copy of that letter so that we can respond accordingly. I think the last question was from the Honorable Filtane. I think, like you asked, I know that the advocate was explaining or answering to you with regards to communities. Because we've got a copy of the Act here, to the extent that you don't have it, we will leave a copy for you, which includes the schedule of those communities. Because it's fair, like you said, the Honourable Member said, that passing comments sometimes can be dangerous because it may be out of context. And maybe also I'll leave an attachment to this regulation. I'm not sure whether I've answered all the questions, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Let me indicate that
No, Chairperson, there was a specific question asked of me by Honourable Fulton. Yes. you are saying I must not just refer him to the to the white paper. And my response, Chair, is that the section of the white paper on tenure reform, it provides for a move away from permits to rights that are protected. So it then deals with those types of rights that need to be done away with so that you can provide a secure tenure, including ownership. Thank you, Chair.
I'm closing this matter, Honourable Robertson. I'm closing now.
Before you close, Honourable Chair, sorry, did you give us a more or less an estimate of a date?
The due date for the finalization of the land audit?
In all fairness, Chairperson, the answer would be at the end of the next financial year. Next financial year.
You will not be here by then. So that is why the due date is at the end of the next financial year. So if you are not here, then it will back.
That was rather deceptive of the judge. I wonder if you should not be in politics, Honourable Judge. Maybe one of us sits on the other side. Whether we're here or not, I think it is pertinent that we get something like this because it affects the residents or the people that reside on Ngwenyama Trust, especially when it comes to creating an income. So I think it is pertinent. I don't quite think that the end of next financial year could do. Could you not bring it closer towards this year?
Honourable Members, listening to the discussion, can I make these concluding remarks before we close this meeting? We thank you for the presentation and the responses, DM. But let me emphasize that DM, can the department put its house in order? We don't send two invitations. We send one invitation to the department. We don't invite ITP. The invitation that we send to the department is the one that must invite ITP based on the invitation that we have sent them. So there are not two invitations. The invitation that I was reading here is the invitation that we have sent to the department. So if the judge is saying that their invitation does not reflect what I have read, then I have a problem. Can you please look at that, Acting DG? We don't invite ITP direct. We send the invite to the department, then the department must forward the invite to ITP. Secondly, it's clear, Judge, that we are not happy about this process. We are not happy as a committee. I will request that the department and ITP must go back and look at this matter. Maybe first to say, put this process on hold, sit down, the department and ITP, look at all the issues, comments made by members here, look at the communities that are under ITP, what this convention going to affect them, whether positively or negatively. You consult them thoroughly before you implement whatever. But before you implement, we must invite you to come and make that presentation. Let me also say to the officials, these are honorable members. We respect you, and we expect you to respect us. When you respond, you must not take us for granted and respond anyhow. We don't want to be rude, and we don't want to be pushed to that corner. We expect DM, your officials, to respect us as we respect them. They must not take members for granted. These are not kids. If they ask a question, respond to that particular question. That's it. We're not going to allow that. Otherwise, we'll show you the door. Because we don't want to be taken for granted. And if members ask a question, respond to that specific question. Clarify the issue. That's it. I've said the process must be put on hold. The department together with ITP must sit down. Because now the department is presenting this, the ITP is saying something else. Can you please go and sit down and look at this matter? You present the report to this committee, we'll invite you again to present the report. Honorable members, what we would like to see is the conversion of the informal ownership to title deed, whatever title deed that it will be, that will give our people the dignity that they own the land in which they are residing. They are not tenants, they are the owners. That is what we want to see as this committee. Lastly, honorable members, we have apologized to Dr. Anika Klossing. Time is against us. She was supposed to make the presentation on the high-level panel recommendations again, which is to be processed by Parliament. Parliament has to guide us on how to process them. Recommendations are recommendations, not resolutions. So we have not yet been guided. It was just a briefing on the findings, on the impact of all legislations which were passed post 1994. Their impact. Then after that, Parliament will guide us on how do we process whether all the recommendations or some of the recommendations. But currently, they are recommendations. They will remain recommendations until we are guided by Parliament, or the Parliament has the House has taken a decision on those recommendations. Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. I don't know whatever you want to say. Wait before the meeting. I adjourn the meeting.
No, thank you, Chair. We are all ears. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.